now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change lane. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
Indeed, 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 it's the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are once again here live. Ladies and gentlemen, Crave Wrestling. I'm here, of course, Chris Featherstone, along with my Raw Pancakes and Power Slam correspondent, Derek. How are you today?
Is this Pancakes and Power Slams?
Absolutely.
Well, let's get the ball rolling, for crying out loud. This is the best night of the week. This is Tuesday night, Pancakes and Power Slams. Chris Featherstone hosting. Derek, the Raw correspondent, now Pancakes and Power Slams correspondent, hosting Pancakes and Power Slams. Let's get the ball rolling. This has been an exciting, boring week of wrestling. So, Chris, let's start the show off in your usual fashion. What have you got to say next?
Absolutely. But before that, let's get the ball rolling for real. Here we go.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go.
So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change lane. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
Hard times, or when the auto workers are out of work and they tell them, go home. And hard times, or when a man has worked at a job for 30 years, they give him a watch, kick him in the butt, and say, hey, a computer took your place, daddy. That's hard times. That's hard times. And Ric Flair, you put hard times on this country by taking Dusty Rhodes out. That's hard times, and we all have had hard times together.
Ladies and gentlemen, hard times, the best promo of all times. One of these days I'm going to know the entire promo, but but that's what you get.
Yeah, no, you won't, because you get bored halfway through it.
You got to be kidding me. You have to be soulless,
you know, yeah,
to not get engaged into
Dusty Rhodes. I love Dusty Rhodes. I'll be the first to say I love Dusty Rhodes. Roads. But
Rowards.
Rowards.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have some fun. This is TLC. On the heels of TLC, we going to do some analysis as we do all the time. We got some trivia going on. Tweet at Crave Wrestling for all of your Twitter, whatever you want to say, and if applicable, we will say it live on the air. The
applicable.
Chat room is filling up. Applicable, yes. The word of the day, the word of the night.
Applicable.
There you go.
Whenever somebody says applicable, scream real loud.
Yes.
That's the word of the day.
Yes, please be sure to scream real loud when someone says applicable or applicable.
Yeah!
Whatever. However you want to say it. But we're going to have some fun. Be sure to fill up the chat rooms as we do every week and show your support there. And continue to support Crave Wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode number 90. 90 episodes in the books after tonight. How amazing is that? You want to talk about a longest-running episodic television show of over 1,000 episodes now, well over 1,000 now. It's about almost 6 months into after the 1,000th episode. But ladies and gentlemen, 90 episodes in our belts, and I am so amazed by the support, the weekly support and continual support from all of the wonderful wrestling fans out there. We just can't do it without you. This is the people show. This is the people show for people power. Ladies and gentlemen.
People power.
Ladies and gentlemen, how about that? We have John Laurinaitis back in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. How about that? Honored to have John Laurinaitis back in the studio. It's a pleasure to be here. It's all about people power. But ladies and gentlemen, one of these days we will bring in the real John Laurinaitis. But until then, we'll just have some fun. All right, here we go. TLC, ladies and gentlemen, having some, we'll get into just what TLC really meant to Derek and I, and we'll go down and break it down. But until then, let's go into trivia. What two titles were being unified to make the Intercontinental Championship? When the Intercontinental Championship was first unified, what two titles were unified? Speaking of the unification, that is the first question for the night to get us the ball rolling. TLC, ladies and gentlemen, was the last pay-per-view of December. It promised to bring us a great January and to have a reset in the annals of WWE history to lead us to the future. It promised to give us a memorable night. And we got what we got on Sunday. So let's go with the first match. Pre-show, Fandango versus Dolph Ziggler. I had Ziggler winning just because Fandango is just about irrelevant to me. But I do understand that the biggest star out of all of this is Summer Rae. The WWE clearly has much more into Summer Rae than they do to Fandango or Dolph Ziggler. And so for the sake of Summer Rae, for the sake of pushing Summer Rae and making Summer Rae look better in this case, I understand why they made Fandango win. The pre-show used to mean something when they first started doing it, and they were doing it for titles. Fandango and Dolph Ziggler meant absolutely nothing. It had no backstory to it.
It did too. It was good.
It was a good match, but no backstory, no build. And, you know, just it's like an extension. It's like a mini Sunday Night Heat to me.
Well, Sunday Night Heat, I want to mention something Chris Featherstone put on the record. He just said that TLC was the best pay-per-view of December. And he's got every right to say that.
No, it was no. No way.
It was funny because the pay-per-views anymore are like Monday Night Raws. It's a random, okay, here it is, all pay-per-view. Let's watch Monday Night Raw is longer. You got more matches. You have commercials just like you do in the pay-per-views anymore. Point taken.
Yeah.
Fandango, I thought that was a great
You're
match.
Right.
Good for Fandango. And Dolph Ziggler, he's still a good competitor, but he's got a ways to go. Yada, yada, yada. Fandango.
Fandango. Fandango still means absolutely nothing. Summer Rae is the biggest star between the two. Yes, most people like Sting. You think, well, true or false? And be honest here. True or false, will Fandango ever reach the heights of Mr. Steve Borden himself?
No, probably not, because he won't be given the chance. Sting was given a silver.
Wait a minute. You said probably not. With some conviction there. There's absolutely no way that Johnny Curtis, Fandango, will ever reach the heights of Sting. Absolutely.
Sting. The what's that song? Every breath you take.
Oh, Sting. Oh, yeah. Gordy Sting, the other Sting, not Steve.
Yeah, the Blade Runners. I get it. The Ultimate Warrior. Sting's great. I love him. I always love to poke fun at him. That's just what I do.
That's what I do. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Henry. And we'll get to Mark Henry soon, too, as far as
he's a good person
his
to talk
future.
About. He's a good person to talk about, Mark Henry.
He is. He is, absolutely. Speaking of talking about, we got our Flavor of the Week, as we do every week. And be sure to stay tuned to the next couple of weeks. We're going to do a few adjustments. And then, of course, we got the New Year's show. Just kind of talking about it and just rehashing a few of our favorite Flavor of the Week moments. Speaking of Flavor of the Week, the Flavor of the Week this week will be Royal Rumble 94 through 98. Last week we did 88 through 93, and we're going to do 94 through 98 this week. And we'll keep doing 4 to 5 Royal Rumbles a week until we get to the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. By that time we'll talk about all the Royal Rumbles and the Flavor of the Weeks, and we'll lead to the pay-per-view that's supposed to be the most exciting. We're 6 weeks out of it, so hopefully they'll have enough build. I mean, a six-week build should be enough for the WWE to actually do something right this time, other than just throw a pay-per-view together and make us think that
that's
we
all they do anymore.
And it's true. And I'll tell you what, after SummerSlam, I really thought that we're going to see an entirely new direction with the WWE, something different, something totally out the box, something different, something that we haven't seen in the past 5-some-odd years. But they dropped the ball again. And so it just seems like we're getting business as usual. And we'll talk about, you know, we'll talk about it more in depth here in the show. But I'm looking for something different. Like I said, the Royal Rumble was a reset to the pay-per-views, a reset to WWE, just a refresher, so to speak, to develop good storylines leading into WrestleMania. It's the road to WrestleMania. And like I said in a previous show, the TLC pay-per-view should be the prelude to the road to WrestleMania to get us excited for Royal Rumble that leads into WrestleMania. But, yeah, I mean, am I excited for the Royal Rumble pay-per-view after TLC?
That doesn't happen anymore.
It
doesn't,
man.
You don't
have
the excitement from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania like you used to. 15 years ago, Royal Rumble was wow. WrestleMania was oh wow.
Yes,
not
absolutely.
Anymore.
And I tell you what, man. Like I said before, we need another Ric Flair 92 moment. Unfortunately, President Jack Tunney is no longer
Woo!
With us no more. But we need another Ric Flair 92 moment. We need, especially if they're going to go full on with this unification deal, we need a full on 1992. The titles are vacant. The Royal Rumble is for the title. In the rich history, ever since 1988 that the Royal Rumble started, 25 years, nearly 26 years, we've only had one occurrence of the winner becoming the World Heavyweight Champion. And we need one more. And it's been, what, 21 years, almost 22 years that it's happened? So we need another one of those. Yeah, almost 22 years. We need another one of those moments. We need the champion to become – we need the Royal Rumble winner to become the World Heavyweight Champion. And in that case, and that's why, again, it should be – the titles, there should be two different titles, because at least the other title can be built up, you know, leading into WrestleMania, and the winner – could be the World Heavyweight Champion. That's what you do. You don't unify the belts. The World Heavyweight Championship is vacant, and now that you have the WWE Champion, you have the World Heavyweight Champion. Just think about how much the World Heavyweight Championship would be important if the Royal Rumble winner won the championship. That would just be absolutely amazing to me. But, you know,
it'd be amazing.
Chat room,
John
let us. No, that wouldn't be amazing. Let us know. Chat room. Let us know what you think. My proposal is that the Royal Rumble winner should be the World Heavyweight Champion. Not forever, but for this Royal Rumble or the next Royal Rumble, somehow they should not unify the belts for good, and the World Heavyweight Championship should still have its individual prestige, and the Royal Rumble winner should be crowned the World Heavyweight Champion. That's my proposal, and let us know, chat room, or tweet at Crave Wrestling. Let us know your thoughts on that. Let's go into TLC. Let's go to TLC. CM Punk defeats The Shield. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to last week's episode. I called it. And the predictions, listen to the entire show. But to be specific, listen to the end of the show when we did the predictions every month. We do the pay-per-view predictions. I said that The Shield will lose to CM Punk because we will see dissension in The Shield, and Roman Reigns will spear another person of The Shield. And what happens? CM Punk putting Dean Ambrose up for a move, and they go back and forth with counters. Roman Reigns goes in for a spear of CM Punk, and wham! Dean Ambrose gets speared, and CM Punk wins. How about that? Caught it. I knew this was going to happen, but I tell you what. The bad thing, there's bad news, Bear would say, I got some good news, and I've got some bad news. The good news is that a Roman Reigns face turn is underway. And I really see a ton of potential in Roman Reigns, and he really could be a breakout star. To be honest with you, I think that Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins need The Shield more than Roman Reigns does, because he's the breakout star of The Shield. I don't think there's any type of dispute with that. Dean Ambrose, to me, he'll be a mid-card Jake Roberts, Brian Pillman-esque, you know, type of person. However, and Seth Rollins, unfortunately, Seth Rollins to me is going to be another Tyson Kidd, Evan Bourne type, Kofi Kingston type person, just a cruiserweight high flyer that probably won't do much of anything. So Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose need the Shield more than Roman Reigns does. Roman Reigns will break out. He will be a breakout star, and I think the face turn, that is just going to do wonders. And I tell you what, we need to see a Roman Reigns versus Dean Ambrose match at the Royal Rumble, or even at WrestleMania for the U.S. title. That's the first step in this big face turn is to give Roman Reigns the United States title. And the bad news is you got a group that came and debuted a Survivor Series last year, and they ran roughshod over champion after champion after champion, took The Undertaker out, took Kane out, took Big Show out, took Ryback out, took Sheamus out. Whatever champion you wanted to insert in there, they took him out, only to lose to CM Punk. Not a good idea. I would have much rather preferred a singles match between, you name it, Dean Ambrose or Roman Reigns. Even if you want to have the U.S. Championship on, you know, up for grabs, and CM Punk being U.S. champion, that would be totally fine with me. That would revive the mid-card championship, as I definitely think it should be. But Roman Reigns should have speared Ambrose out of his title. But triple threat match, the Shield loses to CM Punk. Not a big fan of that. But I'm a big fan of the potential of what they have for Roman Reigns right now.
Yeah, not a big fan. I don't think that the Shield should have lost to one person, CM Punk. And I see CM Punk's up on the rise. Dean Ambrose, as far as your opinion can be, I almost think he's in the same bowl game as Roman Reigns. I'm going to say that. We don't know what's going to happen next. But I truly believe that this, the Shield losing to CM Punk, one person against three potential future superstars, was just absolutely ridiculous. And just how could you put that on a pay-per-view or put that in your card, period? Kind of disgusting. I didn't want to see it. But Roman Reigns is great, and the Shield is going to blow up. Something's going to happen there. Obviously, we see that happening, but I also see that the three of them could honestly have awesome runs on their own. Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns in particular, I think, could really just make or break their career.
Yeah, good assessment there. Next we have the AJ Lee versus Natalya match. And I'll tell you what, this was actually probably the
best Divas match
of the year. I would say this is probably the best Divas match pay-per-view wise. This was the best Divas match of the year. They both, and I knew that this was happening, cuz there's hands down not even close. I mean, Tamina Snuka's a good wrestler, but other than that, there's no other diva that's, you know, on the level of Natalya and AJ Lee as far as wrestling ability is concerned. So I'm very happy that they had a chance to showcase the Divas division, and they did a good job at it. I will say that AJ Lee and Natalya did really, really good. For once in the entire year, this was not a bathroom break match. So how about that? It wasn't too cheesy. It wasn't too novelty-esque, but it was a good match and technically sound, and it was very impressive. So how about that? Surprised that AJ Lee won based on the whole Michelle Beadle incident, but it looks like the WWE is trying their best to sweep it under the rug. And we reported on WrestlingInc.com that the WWE is trying their best to sweep it under the rug, and so they didn't want to cause even more awareness of the situation by just dropping the title off AJ Lee, and she was already booked to retain, and they didn't want to kind of, you know, tweak their writing and have AJ Lee lose. But I mean, I think it should have been Natalya's moment. The Royal Rumble would be a bigger stage to be Natalya's moment, so I'm fine with that if they do it that way. But Natalya needs to be champion. She's the best wrestler in the division, and she needs to be champion.
Oh, come on. Hey, I want to give it up to Chris Featherstone. That it wasn't a bathroom break match. It really wasn't. Usually the Divas division is everybody that listens to the show, Pancakes and Power Slams, 347-884-8452. I am not a Divas fan. They look great, but they wrestle horrible. But they the night before, sorry about that, TLC was not such a bad match. And I can see why AJ Lee is the new Wendy Richter. She is the new Mae Young. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
I don't know what I'm talking about. But
I can really see how, I mean, she is the Divas division right now. She's the most believable wrestler of them, quote, unquote. So I really think AJ Lee, she is what the Divas division is, and Natalya is just as good. She's going to be there, and I'm glad that she's part of the Divas division.
Absolutely. Next we have Biggie Langston defeating Damian Sandow. Good match. I don't think the build was strong enough. Damian Sandow beating Dolph Ziggler after all of the crazy gimmick matches that he had. He defeated him, they had together. Sandow defeats him and defeats Dolph Ziggler in the number one contender match, and Biggie Langston defeats Dolph Ziggler. But I'll tell you what, Biggie Langston is getting a good push. The slow build, for once in a long time, I am appreciating the slow build that someone is finally getting in the WWE, finally. And I really like what I see. I really, really like what I see with this slow build. And I really hope that the WWE do not mess this up. Do not mess it up, WWE. I'm liking
this
slow build. That's the reason why I think there should be two titles. Because I don't see Biggie Langston winning the WWE title anytime soon. But if the World Heavyweight Championship was still around, I can see Biggie Langston winning the World Heavyweight Championship as early as WrestleMania. If Biggie Langston, that's another thing with having the titles unified. You can't, there's not going to be an unpredictable winner. I mean, we have to be honest here. We're going to have either CM Punk or Daniel Bryan win the Royal Rumble. How predictable is that? It takes away from the luster of the Royal Rumble. It takes away from the unpredictability of the Royal Rumble. And because you have unified champions now, you can't have that unpredictable winner. If they had the World Heavyweight Championship, which is more of a title for, of course, you can put on the main eventers, but it's more of an uprising championship, which I think it should be a fair balance, because if it's placed on the uprisers so much, like the Alberto Del Rios and the Sheamuses of the, you know, at the time that he had it, and Christian when he finally had his moment but wasn't necessarily a main eventer at the time, when you keep placing it on them and you don't have a proper balance by having it on established main eventers, that makes it lopsided. But now that's not even an opportunity. I mean, you might as well shut the door and kiss any type of hopes goodbye for the Dolph Zigglers and, you know, those people of the Damian Sandows, and even at this point the Biggie Langstons of this world. They are not going to win the Royal Rumble. They have no chance. The Mizes of this world, they're not going to win the Royal Rumble. They have no chance. And at this point, it's going to be too predictable for me. And I don't like that. And that's why I think there should be still two championships. But Biggie Langston, slow build, keep him Intercontinental Champion for a while, and I really hope that they'll go the route of him and Mark Henry facing each other for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania. That would be a very, very good spot for Big E Langston.
That would be an awesome spot for Big E Langston, because that's Mark Henry. That's what I do! And you,
that's what I do!
Well, Big E Langston's got such a future in front of him. He really does. And I agree with, I don't like the unification as much as they've been building it up to be some great thing, especially when Randy Orton wins it. So I want them to keep it separate. Something tells me they probably will, but maybe not. But anyway, I totally agree. I mean, Big E Langston, he deserves what's coming to him. I hope they keep running the ball with him. I remember they did that with Daniel Bryan, and all of a sudden now he's in a tag match with such and such and somebody. So what's the WWE thinking? What's best for business? Chris Featherstone, back to you. 347-884-4452.
Absolutely. 347-884-8452 is the number to call live. Thank you so much again for all your support. KreifWrestling@gmail.com for your ideas for Flavor of the Week after we're done with this Royal Rumble series.
Trivia question.
We will definitely get to that.
We need another trivia question.
Yes, we need trivia. We need trivia. Trivia is one of the life is one of the primary moments, one of the primary factors that makes Pancakes and Power Slam so unique. We just give you trivia after trivia after trivia every week, and we get some really, really good reports and really, really good feedback as far as that being an element that separates us from the rest, the trivia questions. So thank you so much. But you just got to answer them right. We get wrong answers on Twitter. We get wrong answers on the chat room. This wasn't necessarily an icebreaker question that I asked, what two titles were being unified to make the Intercontinental Championship. And you, Derek, since it wasn't necessarily an icebreaker question, you can go ahead and answer it.
Help me out in the chat room. 347-884-4452
silence.
347-884-4452. Come on, chat room. I know the answer, but you don't. So.
Sure. Yeah, sure. He knows.
Me wrong. Come
but
on,
again,
let's go.
But again, CraveWrestling@gmail.com.
What is the answer?
CraveWrestling.
Go ahead. These people don't know. Mouth breathers.
Before I say the answer, CraveWrestling@gmail.com. For all of your thoughts, for all of your feedback, for all of your suggestions, again, I've got people wanting me to link with them to cross brand and cross promote their show, and we'll get to that soon, leading up to different formatting at episode number 100, which is 10 episodes away. So excited about that. Of course, yes, 10 episodes away from 100.
10 episodes. Come on, people.
I'm so thankful for all of your continual support. And again, Crave Wrestling at Twitter. Follow at Crave Wrestling on Twitter, Crave Wrestling on Facebook, and Bleacher Report, WrestlingInc.com. Check me out, Chris Featherstone. Okay, the answer to the trivia question, what two titles were being unified to make the Intercontinental Championship? We had the South American Heavyweight Champion in Pat Patterson, and we had the fake North American Heavyweight Champion in Ted DiBiase. That was the two belts that were being unified to make the Intercontinental Championship.
That's one of the best titles of all time. I'm glad that you finally got that and realized what the answer was. So what's the next trivia question? Let's go.
Sure. Yeah, obviously you didn't know it. And what year was it?
1979.
Absolutely. 1979. He, it was, well, technically, it was 1979, summer 1979. It wasn't necessarily a fake
Rio
championship.
Rio de Janeiro.
Yes, absolutely. Rio de Janeiro,
yes.
Brazil.
That's what I do.
Yes, you're definitely right. And it was Ted DiBiase. Pat Patterson won it in 1979 to unify and become the Intercontinental Champion. Pat Patterson was the North American Heavyweight Championship, and there was a false South American Heavyweight Championship. It was supposed to be some type of tournament, and that really didn't happen between that Ted DiBiase was coined to win, and then Pat Patterson unified the titles, the North American and South American Heavyweight Championship. Although there was one more person that won the North American Heavyweight Championship, so it was kind of a conundrum, so to speak, but unified Intercontinental Championship, here we go, as far as one of the most prestigious titles in pro wrestling history. Next, we have Goldust and Cody Rhodes defeating Rey Mysterio, Big Show, The Real Americans, and Rybacksel, which still is a horrible name, which it mostly defines Ryback and Curtis Axel. Their name speaks for their team, Ryback and Curtis Axel. Although I will say that Ryback and Curtis Axel, this is a good spot for them. Both of them alone and with Paul Heyman were a failure, and singles runs were a big failure. Curtis Axel as Intercontinental Champion was absolutely horrible. But I will say that them two as a tag team, decent. Decent. It's the tag team division is reviving. And I think we got a comment in the chat room. What about Axel back? I think Axel back is better, much better than Rybacksel. Rybacksel.
No,
is,
no way. I like Rybacksel.
Rybacksel sounds like medicine mixed with the homeless cousin of.
Mixed with Paul Heyman. No one's good with Paul Heyman.
It reminds me of a medicine.
James Cornette.
Oh boy, here's the Jim Cornette.
Did I say James Cornette
of the week? You said James Cornette, James E. Cornette to be specific, as far as who he is. But Rybacksel, another good comment on the chat room. Sounds like Poison or something. That's very true. You've been stricken with Rybacksel poison, or that could be some type of ridiculous gimmick from the early '90s WWE Raw days, or even worse, the Jim Herd era.
Jim Herd, are you kidding me?
Rybacksel sounds like some horrible gimmick from the Jim Herd era that probably like carries some type of pest control or something like that.
Rybacksel is good for me. It's not the ding dong.
Well, Rybacksel should have been the sixth man tag team partner of the ding dongs. But Rybacksel also sounds like Rybacksel also sounds like the homeless cousin of the cast member of Beverly Hills Cop. Yes, that is one of the best. That is one of the best movie
soundtrack
theme songs of all time. Yes. Beverly Hills Cop theme song is one of the best, period. And another theme song.
Axel Foley, whatever.
Yes, Axel. There you go, Axel Foley. Yes.
No.
And it's Rybacksel sounds.
Guns N' Roses.
Axl Rose, Axl Foley, and then you have Ribe Axel. Just a horrible name.
I like it.
But at least they are together as a team. At least they are instrumental in reviving the tag team division. At least they're doing that much. And I'm cool with it. Yeah, at least they're doing something. I'm fine with it. I think that it's a good idea to pair them together. Long term. Because I don't see – they dropped the ball with Ryback. It's clear. They really didn't pick up the ball with Curtis Axel at all. So
yeah.
Putting them together is fine. And I can see it being – even as Intercontinental Champion, he still didn't pick up the ball. He was probably the worst Intercontinental Champion of the year, as far as I can remember. But I think putting them together long term, I'm fine with it. I'm cool with it because I don't see any big moment for Ryback or Curtis Axel, unless the only thing I can picture is somehow them two are together. Curtis Axel goes back with Paul Heyman. And Ryback still doesn't want to go with Paul Heyman, which leads to a face turn from Ryback, a return for Brock Lesnar. And there you go, Ryback and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Yeah, I mean, Ryback lost to Mark Henry this WrestleMania after a decent build between the two. And the only way that Ryback would be of any relevance is if he goes over Brock Lesnar. That's it. Anything other than that, nothing. He has no chance of winning the Unified or the WWE World Heavyweight Championship is what it's called now. No chance of winning that. And then you have, again, if it was split, if there were two titles, maybe he would have a chance of winning the World Heavyweight Championship and winning the Royal Rumble. But, nope, not anymore. Unfortunate. And, I mean, got a comment in the chat room. He has weak mic skills. I think his mic skills have gotten a lot better. I think they'll come better with time. They had an opportunity to make him the next Batista, in my opinion, because when they really start pushing Batista, I mean, Batista was raw. I mean, he was a raw talent, and there were many types of flaws in Batista. Even his wrestling was not very good. His mic skills were not good at all. And they really – Batista was a slow build that they did a fantastic job with. I would actually say that Batista as a character was better than John Cena as a character.
No,
because
I'm kidding.
Batista had – Because Batista, come on now. Because John Cena has been the.
Yeah,
are you serious? You've got to be kidding me. The last heel turn, the last heel run that Batista had, he was absolutely gold. His final heel turn before he left was probably one of the best parts when he turned on Rey Mysterio. And he became heel.
Yeah, Rey Mysterio.
It was absolutely phenomenal. And basically, you got to be kidding me. The charisma that he had, he was way over the bazooka entrance that he had, you know, pretending he's shooting the bazooka and the pyro corresponding with it. Just his charisma was amazing. In the beginning, it was awful. I will give you, in the beginning, it was absolutely awful. It didn't stay awful. Obviously, you're not
Batista.
In tune with the pulse of the WWE because Batista was way over, and he did a fantastic job, and he really evolved. The main event that he had. And WrestleMania for the World Heavyweight Championship. Again, when the World Heavyweight Championship was relevant, He went against The Undertaker for the World Heavyweight Champ. And he went against The Undertaker for the World Heavyweight Championship. And that's when the World Heavyweight Championship was relevant and meant something, and The Undertaker won it. It was a really, really good match. I'll tell you what, Batista and Undertaker was one of the best feuds in the WWE at that time, and they had some really, really, really good matches. And I think that Batista really had an opportunity to become, and I understand he got burned out and everything, but he really evolved to be a really, really good person. A really, really good wrestler, and I think he did a fantastic job as he evolved. When he was Deacon Batista and was with great, very, very good comment in the chat room, Taker took him under his wing. I absolutely agree with that. And you can tell. You can tell that Taker saw a lot in Batista, and they had some really, really good matches together. I'm sorry. What was that again?
Taker regrets it. I mean, Batista. No, he was nobody. That's my take.
He was nobody, but he was a multi-time world heavyweight champion.
World heavyweight champion to WWE standards. I mean,
Come on now. You can't say that back six, seven years ago. You can't say that.
2006 Batista. He's Batista.
Nowadays you can say that, but then no. I mean, He has some good feuds with Edge. He has some good feuds with The Undertaker. He had good feuds with Cena. He had a good feud with Orton. He had a good feud with Jericho. Derek is not giving Batista his fair due. He's not.
Maybe I should. Should I? Nah. He was what he was. I'm not going to take anything away from him. And, honestly, if I saw him today, I'd shake his hand. Because he did what he did, and he ran with it. But Batista doesn't mean squat to me. I don't put him in anybody's shoebox.
As far as Batista's evolution of a character, what is bad about Batista's character?
Forgettable, because I forgot about him. I'm a huge wrestling fan. I love wrestling. Batista, he didn't strike a chord. I would not put him in any conversation with anybody else. Not my guy.
Hmm.
But that's okay.
He's not your guy, and that's fine, but you cannot deny Batista's...
I can.
You can't deny his
now? I don't... Yeah, I did not...
No, he chose to leave. Batista, that was a choice. He chose to leave.
All right.
We have to.
Better off for the WWE.
Oh, man. We have the 90 episodes in. Ladies and gentlemen, I have to make this very, very clear. I have to make this very, very...
347-848-452. Disagree with me.
I have to make this very clear and very notable. We have, out of the hundreds of chat room comments that we have had, I give you the best chat room comment in the 90-episode history of Pancakes and Power Slams, and that is, 'cause he doesn't dance ballroom style. Boom! He doesn't dance ballroom style like Fandango, and that's the reason why you don't like Batista. That pretty much says it all right there. Fantastic comment in the chat room. That was brilliant. Absolutely, absolutely brilliant. Great job, chat room.
Okay.
That's what you do. That's what you do.
It
that's
was probably
how you make
me
comment.
That made that comment.
That's how you make comments live on the air right there. That's exactly what you say to get live on the air, because he doesn't dance ballroom style. That's the reason why he doesn't like Batista, but he likes Fandango. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the next trivia question, and that is, who was known as coining the phrase, "I did it for The Rock"? Again, who was known as coining the phrase? You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. This guy,
wrong?
Derek Thoreau, Derek the Pancakes of Power Slam correspondent, he first gives Batista no credit, and then he just blurts out the trivia answer. That was
I remember
very
when
Fandango-ish.
Batista was Leviathan back in OVW.
He was. You're absolutely right. He was Leviathan.
He was great. I loved him back then. I hated the way that WWE changed his character.
Leviathan, some whale that comes out, some bald-headed monster whale that comes
in his eyes. That was awesome.
Yeah, the contacts and the fangs that he had. That was horrible. I remember I saw an old promo They showed an old promo. I remember seeing an old promo they had of Leviathan back in the early 2000s. And it was terrible, man. They had like some far camera shot and had him coming out of the water and Leviathan. Come on,
yeah, but
you
got to
be kidding me.
Right.
You got it right, but you know that the trivia questions are not for you unless it can't be answered. I got to treat Derek, the world correspondent.
I thought I gave the chat room enough time.
No, you didn't give
but evidently
the chat room
I didn't,
enough time.
So the chat room is, I think I know what I'm talking about.
You clearly proved that you can't listen. Ladies and gentlemen.
Maybe that's
ladies
the way
and
it
gentlemen,
is.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rikishi is the correct answer. Never mind Derek's blurps of trivia. Again, Derek, looks like I have to put a leash on you or something. The next trivia question is, the team of Coco Beware and Owen Hart was known as what? The team of Coco Beware and Owen Hart were known as what? Come on, chat room. Never mind Derek's blurts and just
I won't answer
correctly
this, I swear.
Correctly answer the question, who was the team name? What was the team name of Owen Hart and Coco Beware? Let's go into TLC. Obviously, we're talking random stuff, which is much more interesting than TLC. That goes to show TLC pay-per-view as a whole. Let's get back into the show here. R-Truth defeats Brodus Clay. I liked what I saw here. A lot of people were scrutinizing this match. I actually liked it. I think it was good. I think that it was a proper build. I think that the R-Truth and Xavier Woods team and the Tons of Funk team, we saw dissension. We saw it pan out more on Raw, but we did see the dissension on starting on TLC. So I was cool with this match, actually, and I think that you got to build up. You got to have decent heel turns. You got to have a build to a heel turn. People are just so impatient these days and saying, "Oh, that was such a horrible match." And first of all, it wasn't a bad match, and secondly, it told a story. Brodus Clay teasing a heel turn and then finalizing on Raw. We'll talk about that, but it told a story, and so I think this match was more meaningful than Kofi Kingston versus The Miz.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, you got to like heel turns, but again, Brodus Clay heel turn. What all is that going to do? And you mentioned that that happened on a pretty much Monday Night Raw. You saw a little bit of it on TLC, so that tells you what's going on with the pay per views. I can't tell the difference between Raw and the pay per view. But the Brodus Clay heel turn, I can see where it's going to go. That's all right. But in the end, I don't think it's going to be a monumental shift for WWE.
I will agree with that. He calls himself the main event player. I like the heel turn. It's the cockiness and, that type of, that type of egocentricity that he has, or he's getting, main event player. And he should be a heel. It doesn't look like he'll be like a monster heel. It'll be more of a cocky heel, which you know, transitions well from his Funkasaurus gimmick. So I'm cool with it. Next, we have Kofi Kingston versus The Miz. Kofi Kingston wins, finally, a match. But this feud is not – it really doesn't mean anything. They're not building it for a title. It doesn't mean anything. They're still – both of them are still just mid-carders that aren't going to ascend to be top guys anytime soon. Poor Miz, because 2 years ago we were talking about him being world heavyweight – being the WWE champion, beating John Cena at WrestleMania 27 – now he's in a feud with Kofi Kingston, someone who loses many more matches than he wins and is virtually irrelevant now. And now they're in a feud. They're actually boring chants during the match, and that pretty much explained it all. Just total waste of time for me. And to put them, you know, to have them wrestle a match, they were the pre-show last month, and now they were actually on the card based on something that happened on the pre-show. It was a total waste of time for me. Total waste of time. Looks like we got some technical difficulties from Derek, our Pancakes and Power Slam correspondent. Next, we have Wyatt Family versus Daniel Bryan. I can understand the purpose for this. I'm okay with this. It told a better story. It told a much better story than CM Punk and The Shield did. I'm cool with it. However, what gets me, though, is that they really didn't build much from it. I mean, the Wyatt Family had a promo on Raw, but that's really about it. And they really – I don't really think they're transitioning and really having this feud as good as it should be. But – and then, I mean, because virtually Daniel Bryan kind of got thrust back into the World Heavyweight – the WWE World Heavyweight Championship scene – a day after losing against the Wyatt Family, and you really don't see the Wyatt Family other than a promo on Raw. So that was a weird transition leading into Raw and leading into the Royal Rumble. And at the end of the day, what does it really do to the Wyatt Family?
It doesn't do much to the Wyatt Family. They've been kind of a bust. I mean, like you say, I mean, the promos are great. Everybody was excited when they first started, they came in. And now it's just kind of, we want you, Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan used to have better things going for him. So, I mean, this is just kind of a throw-together nothing that the WWE is trying to make something out of. Just don't see it happening. Don't think the Wyatt Family can make anything special come out of this.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I don't see much of anything at all. Then we finally get We get Randy Orton and John Cena. Unification match. It actually wasn't a bad match. Randy Orton and good question here in the chat room. Would they do better on their own? No, I definitely don't agree. The person wasn't really making an assessment, it didn't seem like. But I don't think that they would be better on their own. I think that the Wyatt Family, unlike the Shield, I really don't think the Shield would do as good as they are as a group on their own. But I think that they'll fare to be decent at least. Like I said, Seth Rollins will probably get the worst end of the stick, and Roman Reigns will probably get the best. But at least they'll have decent singles careers. But Rowan and Harper, they'll be a tag team, but they're nothing without the Bray Wyatt feel to them, and it just won't work for them if they were on their own. So I don't think that would be a good idea. As far as Orton and Cena is concerned, I think it was a good match. A bit surprising. It was a few weird spots in the Orton and Cena match, including the last spot. It seems like when Orton pulled Cena off when he was handcuffed to the ropes. When he pulled him off the ladder, he kind of just, when he was climbing up the ladder, he just kind of looked back, stood there, kind of hung on the, the little, you know, thing that they had holding the titles. And another good, I'll tell you what, laced with good comments in the chat room today. Botchamania tore that match up. I totally agree. And there's your cheap plug for Botchamania, who's not paying me a dime for that. But it's okay, because they're worth the Botchamania. It's very, very funny. But, yeah, I totally agree with that as far as what they're going to do with that match, because that match, especially the end, was a great botch. And it seems like there was something written in the script or something like that, and all of a sudden, you know, Randy Orton was probably waiting for John Cena to get up and do the whole, you know, both climbing up the ladder, and, you know, they were like, and Orton was probably like, wait a minute, so are you about to get up, John? And John doesn't get up, and he's like, okay, so I suppose I'll just grab the belts now. So it was an odd finish to me. Decent match, odd finish, and because it wasn't anything controversial, it kind of made the pay-per-view fall flat.
Pay-per-view was horribly flat. Give me a break. I mean, that was the most boring TLC match I've ever seen. And that's a shame. I hate to say that. TLC is such an awesome caliber to be in. If you're in a TLC match, you've got something going for you. This was absolute, this didn't make sense. They didn't seem comfortable with each other in the match. The match just seemed so lackluster. And how many tables, ladders, and chairs do you have surrounding the ring? I mean, you have handcuffs somehow placed under the safety mat outside the ring. Come on. WWE has to do a lot better. This is the end of 2013, 2014. Let's get things back together. Let's get things going. This is ridiculous. I don't want to have any more discussions with WWE of me being negative about it, because that's not what I'm about.
Let's go on to Raw. The next question, Coco Beware and Owen Hart was known as what, Derek? Known as, what was their team name?
Fantastic Birdman.
Stumped again. So you're quick to say the right answer. Well, answer that you think is right, but you aren't as quick to do that to an answer that you think is wrong. High energy. Come on. High energy.
I said high.
They wore the flamboyant MC Hammer pants with the suspenders. Coco Beware and Owen Hart.
That was a dumb question.
High energy. There's no dumb questions in Pancakes and Power Slams, just to be clear.
High energy. I knew that. I said high something. So.
You said high flyers. Greg Gagne and Jim Brazil, I guess.
Oh, of
Next
course.
Question
I mean,
is,
that counts.
It doesn't count. Neither does Jim Brazil and Greg Gagne. Next question is, what state did Billy Jack Haynes represent by his ring gear? What state did Billy Jack Haynes represent by his ring gear?
Come on, I know this one.
You can't do it. All right, let's get into Raw real quick. Let's be real quick with Raw, because I wanted to get into the Royal Rumble Flavor of the Week here, which will be more exciting to talk about than the Raw episode, unfortunately. But here we go. We first start off with Triple H and Stephanie McMahon introduce Randy Orton, interrupted by John Cena, challenges Orton to face Daniel Bryan. Rey Mysterio on Big Show defeats Goldust and Cody Rhodes. I'm not a fan of the Mysterio and Big Show. I can understand that they put them together and just threw them together. But other than that, I just really don't see the relevance in this team, especially to defeat Goldust and Cody Rhodes, who are the champions. These clean losses that Goldust and Cody Rhodes have been getting doesn't really help them as a tag team.
No, not at all. I mean, for crying out loud, Goldust and Cody Rhodes is they're a novelty to the WWE, but they mean so much as far as, like, the fans to you and me and people that actually still watch WWE and realize and know the legacy of it. Let's stop this. They are a legitimate tag team with Team Rhodes. Let's keep this going. Don't tarnish. Don't diminish it. You're only hurting yourselves.
I totally agree. Very good assessment there. Dolph Ziggler
Oregon
defeats Fandango. I'm sure that you weren't happy with that. Biggie Langston.
Keep going.
Biggie Langston and Mark Henry defeats the Real Americans, which was good again. Slow build for Langston, eventual heel turn for Mark Henry. Ryback slow defeats Tons of Funk, and then we see the heel turn on Tensai post match, which again I'm fine with. I think it was a good turn. It was needed for Brodus Clay. He meant nothing before that, and I think this will be we won't see much. I mean, he won't go on some, you know, gigantic winning streak and be this monster heel and have this crazy push. But I think it's something new and something different for Brodus Clay. I'm totally on board with this.
Yeah, you would be, and I am too. I don't think of it a whole lot as something that impacts my wrestling love and know-how, but I do appreciate the bold Brodus Clay turning heel and the Tensai breaking away. I like to see Tensai. So, okay, I understand this. Let's keep it going. I want to see the breakup go. Billy Jack Haynes. He did the full Nelson, but that's not the trivia.
He did.
That was awesome.
He did the full Nelson.
But I'm
going to
tell you, what state did he represent?
Go for it.
Oregon.
He absolutely did.
Portland.
He is the
Oregon. Oregon Ducks. Bleh, don't like them. Not my favorite
colors?
College team.
What
but
colors?
The colors are there.
What colors did he wear?
Orange and green.
No, he wore yellow
yes.
and green.
Oh, yellow. Oh, big difference. Who cares? Oregon Ducks are garbage.
Orange and yellow are two different colors. And Billy Jack Haynes wore
I'm
yellow
colorblind.
And green.
I'm colorblind.
You're not colorblind.
Okay, well, I try to be.
You're not colorblind. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the CM Punk in-ring promo, which led to an interruption by Shawn Michaels. Actually, I was fine with that. Weird Shawn Michaels appearance, but I liked it. And I thought, wow, CM Punk and Shawn Michaels would be a really, really good match. But I don't think that they should have Shawn Michaels be a heel, especially if he comes back for one more match. He's retired. You don't come back as a heel for your comeback match. Come on now. You don't do that. If he comes back for one more match at WrestleMania 30, WrestleMania 30 would be the biggest WWE pay-per-view of all time. It would make sense if Shawn Michaels came back. I'd be totally fine with it. But he needs to be booked as a face. And I don't want to see him come again against Daniel Bryan just to put him over, because that match would be absolutely predictable and just would just be for the purposes of putting Daniel Bryan over, which in turn wouldn't do very much for Daniel Bryan, especially since there's one title again. So we need a feel-good moment. Wrestling, big pay-per-views like that should be filled with feel-good moments. We need a feel-good moment for Shawn Michaels if he comes back for 30. And CM Punk would be a good match, but if they're both baby faces, I can deal with, but Shawn Michaels as a heel coming to WrestleMania, I don't think that's a good idea.
It's not a good idea. Shawn Michaels is a heel. I mean, 15 years ago, the best thing that ever happened to Shawn Michaels, but it's just not going to happen well now. Don't want to see that. If it does happen, I'll be behind Shawn Michaels. To me, he's the ultimate. He is the Sting in your world. Yeah, Steve Borden. But for the most part, great match. It would end up well, only under great circumstances.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right there. Name the three names of Jake Roberts' snakes in the WWE. There you go. All right, the Shield defeating CM Punk and Usos. They get some redemption there from their loss. AJ Lee, Tamina Snuka, and Alicia Fox defeats Natalya and the Bella Twins. You went from a great match to TLC to, there you go with this match. Back to normal. Daniel Bryan defeats Randy Orton by disqualification. I mean, they had some, it was a really good match. And I'll tell you what, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton is probably the feud of the year. And they've had some really good matches together. I will give them that. The low blow from Randy Orton, you know, it was heelish. It made sense. I can understand the finish. I was okay with the DQ finish. Totally fine with it. John Cena comes out and attacks Orton just for Orton to rebound and RKO. What is up with this Randy Orton resurgence of being almost just impervious to selling stuff? Derek and I, we counted. He took three table spots at TLC and a couple other huge spots during the match. And the dude just pops right back up, and you can't – you have to learn to sell. Whatever happened to the art of selling? It was just – it was horrible how they really booked that match. I mean, the competition was good, the athleticism was good. There were some good spots, but just popping up after table spots, and especially after you have that same spot being like at the end of every show, someone's knocked out, and the show just goes off. And it just wasn't it meant anything. Come in the chat room, you see it in NXT, so all hope isn't lost. But NXT isn't televised, though. So, you know, it makes more sense to do that in NXT, but it just doesn't make sense otherwise. Next we have another trivia question. Again, name the three names of Jake Roberts' snakes in the WWE. The three names of Jake Roberts in the WWE. 347-884-8452 is the number to call. May can squeeze some callers in, maybe. At this
NXT
time.
Is the future of the WWE. That's all we have. I mean, yeah.
NXT is a fantastic promotion. They've got.
They're awesome. And Ring of Honor is an awesome promotion.
They are.
I mean, that's
yes.
The future of our wrestling. You still have TNA out there. Don't hear anything about it. But keep
Speaking
going.
Of TNA and Impact Wrestling, again, Impact Wrestling reviews on WrestlingInc.com. Impact Wrestling reviews on WrestlingInc.com. Impact Wrestling and SmackDown reviews every week. I didn't manage to get it in this week in preparation of TLC, but other than that, every week we get some really, really, really good, fantastic reviews in for SmackDown and TLC. So for SmackDown and Impact Wrestling. So continue to support through that. And as far as the SmackDown, as far as SmackDown is concerned, it was more of a setup for TLC, and the big thing with that was Randy Orton issuing an apology to Triple H, and it was, I suppose, it made sense from Raw. Yeah, Feast or Fire match was featured on Impact Wrestling, and another thing was the Joseph Park. The Joseph Park segment with Eric Young, and Eric Young kind of revealing that he was Joseph Park. So that's what we have there. And as far as the Feast or Fired match, it was decent. And Austin Aries did become the new X Division champion. So definitely congratulations to Austin Aries. Feast or Fired, the case winners were EC3, Zema Ion, Chavo Guerrero, and Gunner. One of those will be fired. And I've got a good inkling that the person that will – be fired will be Chavo Guerrero. So got some chat room flooding right now, and people saying, can you please pick up? I've got a lot of calls here on hold. So, Phil, if we don't have enough time, you know, be sure to let us know your thoughts in the chat room that are civil, of course. The next, again, name the three names of Jake Roberts' snakes in the WWE. Again, three names, and we got Damian so far. We've got two
Lucifer.
More. One of I'll give. You got to be kidding me.
There's
Come
one more
on,
left.
Derek.
There's one more
let
left.
Let the chat room answer the questions.
If they're not fast enough, that's not my fault.
Come on, you got to give them some time.
Okay. Dave got
well,
one
we got
more.
Damian.
You said three. We've got two.
We got Damian. Now we got Lucifer, and there's one more. We've got one more. All right, let's go to the Flavor of the Week, ladies and gentlemen. Flavor of the Week, again, we will go into the Royal Rumble series. Again, we were having some Flavor of the Week series with the Royal Rumble. Last week we did 88 to 93, and now we're going to do 94. To 98. 94 goes with the Brooklyn Brawler defeating Jim Powers at the dark match. Tatanka defeating Bam Bam Bigelow with Luna Vachon. Very interesting match there. The Quebecers defeating Bret Hart and Owen Hart for the Tag Team Championship. How about that? Royal Rumble 94, the Hart brothers put over the Quebecers. They were really a big team to be reckoned with. I remember they defeated the Steiners in the Quebec Rules match, and came and Johnny Polo, a.k.a. Scott Anthony, a.k.a. Scotty Flamingo, a.k.a. Raven, came out with the Quebecers and defeated the Hart brothers for the Tag Team Championship. And that was the time that Owen Hart officially made his heel turn. And the WWE, and it was SummerSlam kind of set the tone for it. And then Survivor Series set the tone for it. And then Owen Hart made his official turn at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view. The man had a match against Owen Hart, and then eventually, you know, he had his match at WrestleMania 10, which he beat him clean. He actually did a very, very good job defeating him clean at WrestleMania 10, only for Bret Hart to win the World Championship. So that was Owen Hart's big moment. I think that was probably his biggest moment, was defeating Bret Hart at WrestleMania 10. Razor Ramon defeats Armin R. Shyster for the Intercontinental Championship. Yokozuna defeating The Undertaker in a casket match, and that's when they had their big when Chuck Norris came out, and but they had there was like 10 people that came in and helped The Undertaker, helped Yokozuna put The Undertaker in the casket. There was just everybody just came out and jumped The Undertaker. And if I'm not mistaken, one of them was Kabuki. And then at the end, Lex Luger and Bret Hart became co-winners of the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, we all remember that. And who won the most in the 1990s? Who won the most Royal Rumble pay-per-views? Or was it a tie?
It was, as far as the 90s are concerned, you have a three-way tie. You have Hulk Hogan, you have Shawn Michaels, and you have Steve Austin. Hogan won it 90-91, Michaels won it 95-96, and Austin won it 97-98.
Really? I thought Michaels won it three times.
Nope. Austin is the only one that won it three times.
Well, good for Austin. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't that?
Yep.
Let's move on to the next.
Yeah. Let's go on to Royal Rumble 95. We have the decent pay-per-view. The Royal Rumble was won by, again, Shawn Michaels. And
yay.
He defeated the British Bulldog. I think that was probably one of the best matches because, if I'm mistaken, Shawn Michaels was number two and defeating that. And I remember when I remember watching that Royal Rumble live, and I was so devastated the British Bulldog lost because I was a big fan of the British Bulldog, and it was just – and how he got up there, and he got up on the ropes, and he thought that Shawn Michaels was eliminated, and Shawn Michaels came back in because only had – he only stepped out with one foot and just tossed – you know, he just pushed the British Bulldog over, and it was – it was devastating to me. As far as the rest of the card, we had Jeff Jarrett defeating Razor Ramon to become the Intercontinental Champion. Undertaker defeating Erwin R. Schyster. Very interesting match there. Undertaker and IRS to actually fight each other in a singles match. Diesel fought Bret Hart to a draw for the WWE Championship. Bob Holly and the 1-2-3 Kid defeated Tatanka and Bam Bam Bigelow for the vacant tag team championship. And of course, again, Shawn Michaels defeating the British Bulldog to become the winner of the 95 Royal Rumble. What you got on that one, Derek?
95 Royal Rumble was run of the mill for at the time, at least. Kind of like what you see now, but it was a good Royal Rumble. You had Shawn Michaels in there. I mean, he was the pay-per-view king at the time. So the 95 Royal Rumble is kind of almost, I look at it as like a turning point, almost a precursor to the Attitude Era. So 1996,
yeah.
What have you got for that?
1996, we have Ahmed Johnson defeating Jeff Jarrett, the Smokey Guns
yeah.
defeating the Body Donnas.
Ahmed Johnson. What was his
yeah, Ahmed
finishing
Johnson.
Move?
The Pearl River Plunge.
Yeah, hey, you can't answer that. You cannot answer that. I was.
I
that
didn't.
Was for the
no,
chat
wait a minute.
Room.
I did not know that that was for.
That was
the
chat
room.
Oh my goodness! Oh, I'm so disappointed.
I did not know. Wait a minute. I did not know that that was for the chat room or the tweet only.
Okay,
my apologies.
Whatever it was, okay, go ahead. Whatever. 96 for Rumble.
The Smoking Guns defeated the Body Donnas. Goldust defeated Razor Ramon for the Intercontinental Championship. And Shawn Michaels, again, won by eliminating Diesel.
Shawn Michaels.
And then at
okay.
the...
Steve Boyd.
Yes. And at the end, Sting. And at the end, The Undertaker defeated Bret Hart by disqualification Bret Hart to retain the WWE Championship. Royal Rumble match was before the championship match. That doesn't happen often, but it did in 1996. I just recently watched the 96 Royal Rumble again last week, I believe it was. It was decent. It was a decent Royal Rumble match. Wasn't really the best one out of the bunch. Actually, I think it was probably middle of the road, closer towards the bottom half.
What was the best
Michaels
Royal
won.
Rumble you can remember?
I don't know, man. I 92 still was just a tip
I'd
of the
91.
Iceberg to me.
All
right. 91 when Hogan won?
Yeah.
I mean, 91.
Thing.
From what I
remember,
91 was decent. But 92 to me. I mean, champion, Ric Flair wins. There were many world champions in there. Sid Justice.
I didn't have cable back then.
Oh, I see. Sid Justice teased his heel turn at the time. So it was really good. Let's get into the 97 Royal Rumble real quick. We had We had Triple H with Curtis Hughes defeating Goldust for the Intercontinental Championship, retaining the Intercontinental Championship. Ahmed Johnson defeating Farouk by disqualification. Vader defeating The Undertaker in a singles match. A big, big push from the Vader there.
Mastodon.
We had a luchador match. We had Hector Garza, Piero Aguayo, and El Canic defeating Jerry Estrada, Heavy Metal, and Ferezo Guerrero in a tag team match. And then we had, again, the Royal Rumble match being before the WWE title match. The WWE title match was Shawn Michaels winning the championship from Psycho Sid. This is when Michaels was with Jose Lothario. And then Stone Cold Steve Austin winning his first Royal Rumble match by lastly defeating Bret Hart. Very interesting Royal Rumble match there. Super heel Austin at the time was clearly eliminated and came back and defeated and tossed Bret Hart over. That was actually pretty funny. The 98 Royal Rumble, we'll finish with this real quick. Vader defeated at this time, he was the artist formerly known as Goldust, one of his lower moments in the WWE, in my opinion. Tag team match, interestingly enough, Max Mini, Mosaic, and Nova defeating Battalion, Tarantula, and El Torito, not the same El Torito we see with the Los Matadores, but it was another El Torito. The Rock defeating Ken Shamrock by disqualification to retain the Intercontinental Championship. And the Legion of Doom defeating New Age Outlaws by disqualification. New Age Outlaws can retain the Tag Team Championship. And then Stone Cold eliminates The Rock last to win the 98 Royal Rumble, his second of three. And then Shawn Michaels defeating The Undertaker in a casket match for the WWE Championship. This was actually one of the moments where this is actually the moment one of the defining moments of Shawn Michaels' career as far as his surgery is concerned. It really hurt his back at the time, and I think it was Mind Games, a casket match earlier in the year. But this really was one of his last matches before losing to Steve Austin and becoming on sideline for about 4 years. Ladies and gentlemen, we're running out of time. Fantastic show as always. Thank you for everybody. I apologize for all the callers. Didn't have enough time with TLC. But continue to call in, 347-884-8452. Until next week, this is Pancakes and Power Slams. Be sure to join us next week, wrestling.com, bleachreport.com, @CraveWrestling. Until next week, enjoy your week of wrestling, and God bless. Goodbye.